Welcome to Transforming Minds, Transforming Lives, a podcast series of RCCG Living Spring Pittsburgh. Stay tuned for our senior pastor, Boyega Esson.
Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1 to 4. Habakkuk 2, 1 to 4, catching a vision. The Bible says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end. It will be fulfilled. Amen. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. What a wonderful scripture. Well, if you go to Habakkuk chapter 1, you will see there was chaos, there was crisis in the land, and the prophet Habakkuk had so many questions to ask God, because there was pandemonium. Everything was not just right. The wicked were getting blessed. The people who are righteous were just stagnant. So this guy had many questions he was going to ask God. So he now said, well, I will go. I will climb to my watchtower. I will stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says to me. Brethren, if you are going to seek God, you have to learn to seclude yourself. The Bible says so clearly, Isaiah 30 and verse 15, Isaiah 30, 15, says, in returning and rest, you will be saved. When you return, when you repent and you rest at the feet of Jesus, he says you will be saved. He now went on to say, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So anybody who learns to be quiet, anybody who learns to wait on God will see God come through. Jeremiah 29:13 says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. When you search for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And that's just the truth. When you search for God wholeheartedly, you will find him. The Bible says the glory of God is to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings is to search it out. So when you search out God, it places upon you, it enthrones you. In other words, when you seek God and you find him, it confers on you authority, it confers on you dominion. Because the Bible says that those who come to God must come to God by faith. It says those who come to God must believe that God exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you diligently seek God, he rewards you. It's as simple as that. If you search for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. So Habakkuk went to the watchtower, separated himself to seek God. It is wise men who seek Jesus. Believe me, maybe your life is not going the way you want it to go. You can seclude yourself, because in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. If you wait on the Lord, God will come through. It may not come the time you want him to come, but if you keep waiting, I can guarantee you, it's my prayer God will come to you. And it's my prayer in this crazy world that you and I will find a place even to seek the Lord. And before you say Jack Robinson, God will come through for you in the mighty name of Jesus. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, the honor of kings to search it out. God likes to play hide and seek. I'm not kidding you. God wants to be the only one in your life. This generation is not seeking God. We are putting the cart before the horse. We seek other things. But the Bible says if you seek him and his kingdom, all these things you are looking for shall be added to you. We major on the minors. It is the bane of Christianity in these days. If you and I will create time for God, wait on the Lord. In the morning, you wake up, you pray. When you get tired of praying, you worship him. When you get tired of that, you listen to sermon. In other words, you are just always around God. You want to create a whole day and say, Lord, for the next 12 hours, I just want to seek you. You create that atmosphere, just you and God. So it is wisdom to seek God, because many times when we seek him, we find him. He may not come the way you want him to come, because as a matter of fact, he told Elijah, he said, look, I want to talk to you. He said, go to the mountaintop. Mountain means somewhere that is not on plain ground. Mountain means prayer top, watchtower. 1 Kings chapter 19, he told Elijah, he said, go to the mountain top. I want to talk to you there. And of course, Elijah was there waiting on him. So there was a fire that came. Elijah thought God was in the fire. He wasn't there. There was a windstorm that came. The wind was powerful. God wasn't there. Oh yes, there was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. God came in a still, small voice. You see, the reason why we don't hear God is because there's so much noise. There's a cacophony of voices in our mind, in our head. Many, many voices. But do you know when you can separate yourself and give him the due attention he deserves, it will just come in a still, small voice. You will know where God talks to you. Where God talks to you, it is intense. It may be quiet, but it is deep-seated. It is from within you. Amen? Many times it's from within. Many times you are looking at the external. Oh, the earthquake. God will be there. Oh, the windstorm. Oh, the fire. But many times it is internal. Because if you're always looking for the supernatural in the spectacular, you will miss the Holy Spirit. It comes in a still small voice. The Bible says the anointing you have received from him dwells in you. So that anointing will teach you all things. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. Say the anointing you receive is within you. That Holy Spirit is there within you and it will teach you all things. The witness is in here. The still small voice is in here. We look inwards to know what God is about to do. Because Satan can manipulate the externals. Vision is a bridge between your present reality and your future possibility. A vision from God is compelling. People also can cast visions. A man can have a vision. Everything you see, believe me, emanated from somebody's mind. You go to Disney, you wonder what's going on here. Somebody had a vision, and that vision became reality. So man can have a vision. Even Satan gives people vision. It's just the truth. But we are talking about Christians here. We are talking about God-given vision. When it's God-given, it's compelling. When it's God-given, that could actually be your life mission. When God gives you a vision, it could actually be your life assignment. In other words, God's vision is compelling. It will be beyond you. It may actually be something you don't want to do. But when it's God, it's intense. And of course, I want to use the word vision, acronym V-I-S-I-O-N, just to encourage somebody, you know. So the first word I have here is visualize. You want to know what God is about to do, your inner eyes must be open. Visualize. It's amazing that many times when God wants to give a man something, it tells him first and foremost, see. He was going to show them, Numbers chapter 13, he was telling them, well, you are going to inherit Canaan. He said, before I give you Canaan, go check out Canaan. That was it. He said, look, Moses, appoint 12 leaders, let them go check out the land I want to show them. Joshua chapter 6 verse 2, before they conquered Jericho, he told Joshua, he said, see. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of Valor. Many times, God will advertise your future before you enter the future. He will show you glimpses of what is ahead before you enter it. He does that too many times. The same thing he spoke to Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, set out now, cross the Arnon Jordan, see, I've given it to your aunt Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and so on and so forth. Say, go take possession and engage him in battle. So many times God will advertise the future before you enter the future. It's my prayer for you, sincere prayer, that you will see your future before you enter the future. It's my prayer that God will show you the invisible, because these things are real. God will speak to you. He will show you that vision. Amen? And that vision he shows you will surely come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. So 12 of them went, 10 of them saw the giants in the land. They were big, they were huge, they were the Anakims, they were actually very big and huge. And they said, ah, these people are too big for us. The Bible said, they said to themselves, we are as grasshopper before them. In other words, these are God's people, the image they carry was grasshopper vis-a-vis the Anakims. Said, these people are too big for us. Said, they will swallow us up. That was the image they carried. Mind you, these were 10 leaders, not just 10 followers. These were big-time, top people like Joshua, Caleb. It was only Joshua and Caleb. Said, ah, if God delights in us, we will take the land. So 10 people saw difficulty in the opportunity, even after God spoke to their leader. Two of them Always opportunity in the difficulty. Visualize. What are you seeing? We can't overemphasize this matter of what do you see. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says God spoke to Jeremiah, "What seest thou?" And Jeremiah said, "I can see the rod of an almond tree." And God said, "You have seen well. And because you have seen well, I will hasten my work to perform it." So even God cannot do much with you if you don't learn to see well. What do you see? Do you see the trouble in the world? Do you always see the difficulty and the opportunity? How do you see? Because what you see is what you get. What you see is what determines what you overcome. What you see determines what you endure. I mean, the way we see matters. 12 leaders, 10 of them saw impossibility, 2 saw possibility. And when they came back, they reported to the old Israelites, it was so bad, the people said, "We are going back to Egypt." So when Joshua and Caleb even tried to encourage them, they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And guess what? Because what you see is what you get. Only Joshua and Caleb in that generation entered Canaan, the land that God promised them. Because they saw where they entered. Do you ever see yourself getting married? Yes, I know you are 35 now. You are so anxious. Have you ever pictured yourself in a wedding gown? Have you had such dreams? If you are going to enter the future, God is going to give to you, a lot has to do with how you see. The Bible says, "Reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God." Say, consider yourself. See yourself as a responsive to sin. But see yourself as responding to God. How do you see? Do you know David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is messing up God's people like this? A soldier saw Goliath as too big to eat. David saw Goliath as too big to miss with my slingshots. So I don't know how you are seeing, how you are visualizing things. But I said again that before you enter your future, it's very likely if you are working very well with God, God will advertise your future for you before you enter. And you better believe what you see. Because you can see and not believe. But the Bible says, "Blessed are those that do not see and yet believe." Amen. But you will see and then you will believe. And what you see will come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Oh yes, how do I catch a new vision? Inquire. And the Bible says in James 1:5-6, "If any man lacks wisdom, say, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And God answered, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake, and without fear recover all." So David was used to inquiring from God. It was a habit he had. That was why he never lost any battle. He will wait on God. The Bible says, "Wait on the Lord and you shall be strong. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." So David will wait on the Lord until God speaks. He will get music, he will get orchestra, he will get worship just to hear God. He sought God with all his heart. And that's why God said, "This man is a man after my heart." Have you ever prayed a prayer of inquiry before? Or is that, "Give me, give me"? That's all you pray. Prayer of petition. Yes, you are trusting God for a job. "Lord, which industry am I going to end up in?" Questions. But we don't pray it. This guy said, "Lord, shall I pursue this troop?" They just took his family, took everybody away. You know, this was in Ziklag. And yet, David was not in panic mode. After panic, he calmed down. He now began to pray. The Bible says that he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, that unsettled sea. But juxtapose that to a calm sea. When the sea is calm, everything is good. Said the guy whose mind is stayed on God is like that calm sea. The one whose mind is not stayed on God is troubled. Years after the panic, calm down. Because you will not hear God until you calm down. What you are going to hear in your panic are noises, pandemonium. God doesn't come when you are frenetic. He doesn't come when you are frantic. He comes when you are cool, calm, and collected. He said the calm sea is that guy whose heart is stayed on God. Because God is the source of your heart. You can't be uprooted because God is there. He said you shall not be afraid of evil tidings, those whose heart is stayed on him, because his heart is trusting. Inquire. The earth is sturdy. Daniel chapter 9 verse 1-2. The first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, son of Ahasuerus, blah, blah, blah. I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate. In other words, Israel sinned as they usually would do, and God moved Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to go plunder them. And of course, he plundered Jerusalem, left it in a desolate state, messed it up, took the good guys, took them to Babylon. And God said, through Jeremiah, it will be 70 years. That once 70 years is over, that they will return back to Jerusalem to begin to build Jerusalem. And it was while this man, Daniel, was studying the Bible that he saw in the word of God that 70 years was about to be accomplished. He now began to pray. What have you garnered from the word? What revelation has come to you because you're a studious Bible student? What have you garnered? Because God will also speak primarily through his word. Do you know how many things people have even gotten by researching? You know what happens when you do proper research. At times you just stumble into things. They call it serendipity. You just stumble into what? You are searching for A, and you just found another gem here. Do you know what power is in research? And the Bible says, it says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have what? Eternal life. So God will help us. Study of the word of God does a lot. You'll be amazed what is in the Bible when you begin to study it. Of course, insights. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, very powerful scripture. Say, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. The Bible tells us faith, substance of things hoped for. It tells us evidence of things not seen. So you have this substance. Because you are thinking of God's word 24/7, it concretizes within you. It's a substance. It's tangible within. There are spiritual realities. Before the physical reality are spiritual realities. You want to see physical reality here? Many times it will form in your heart. Things are created many times twice. So faith, substance, things hoped for, assurance, evidence of things not seen, that is faith. And how can you build up faith when you keep hearing the word? The word of God is a seed. When you plant that seed in a good heart, it will germinate. They become flesh. The word can become salvation. It can become healing to your body. That is insights. You can, by your own self, generate insights. Now look, we have a challenge here. Memorize some scriptures. Let them remain in your mind. Think about them. The mother hen will sit upon the eggs. She will warm them up. In the process, incubation takes place. That's how God works with us. Because the word is a seed. If I give that word attention, if I plant it in my heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. This seed is incorruptible. That's word. When I take it, I can move mountains with it. Because the word is eternal. The word is God's breath. The word of God is what is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. You can draw inspiration from the word. The word I speak to, they are spirit and they are life. These are no ordinary words. They are spirit and they are life. So when I take this in very well, I'm being inspired. So insights. So observation, that's the next one. In other words, you want to catch a new vision, visualize, inquire, study, search the word of God. You want to catch a new vision, you need insights. You want to catch a new vision, observe. The Bible says, walk with the wise, and you shall become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. Do you know somebody is living your future? The kind of future you desire, somebody is living it. And when God wants to help you, he will bring that person close to you. Elisha, by observing Elijah, he desired the double portion of the anointing. People catch visions by just observing other people. That's why you can't just go through life and just shut your eyes. Be mindful, be observant. Every now and again, we talk about Ecclesiastes, and you see the man who wrote Ecclesiastes, he said, I observe under the sun. He keeps observing. That's why Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon was too observant. He practically knew everything going on around him. He said, look, I realized that, look, under the sun, that the race is not to the swift. It was through observation. that Solomon wrote Proverbs. Yes, there was supernatural wisdom, but at the same time, he was observant. Bottom line, somebody is living your future. Somebody is the picture of the future you desire. When God wants to help you, he brings that person into your life for you to view him and observe him. Very true. And it's my prayer that God will bring opportunities your way. Amen. Show me a visionary. I will show you a man who is very observant. Catching a vision, visualize, inquire, study or search, insight, observation, and then the new birth. When we give our life to Christ, light comes in. And that light alone is a vision. Jesus answered and said, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you that unless a man is born again, born anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted, and experience the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are not born again, you have this veil in your mind. Bible says when they turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. So what happens is when we come to Christ, that same God that commanded light out of darkness also commands light in our hearts. It is big deal being born again. Yes, God commanded light out of darkness. But when we give our life, he now commands light into your hearts. And that automatically makes you a seer. So being born again, we see the kingdom of God. We can tell what God is doing, what he's going to do with us automatically. Our eyes pop open. We now begin to love the scriptures and so on and so forth. Hebrews 11 verse 13. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 13, some people died not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed. They were assured of these promises. They embraced the promises and they confessed the promises. How do you own God's promises? How do you own God's vision? When you journal. Do you know when God speaks to you and you take it very seriously and you journal it, he's very likely speaks to you again. Because many times when God speaks to us, we forget. You wake up in the night, something comes into your mind. Oh, when I get up, I will remember that. You can't remember. Because it's not your head. This is your heart. It is what is in your head that you likely remember. But when it's a heart matter, you may not remember. It doesn't matter how minute. If I can be diligent in writing out, I'm embracing his promises. And when God sees I'm diligent, he's very likely to talk to me again and again. Say, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tablets that he may run that reads it.
Thank you for listening, and make sure you subscribe for more great podcasts.